For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Farm to the Show. It's Chris Dickerson and Paul Janisch, and we are back for another episode, week number 5, I believe, and we're coming in hot this week because we got opening day, the day that we've been planning for, you know, everybody's been planning for 7 weeks. Everybody's shipping up, moving out of Arizona and Florida. We see the exhibition games being played across the league, and, you know, we've seen little bit of preview. It's been exciting this the last couple days to get a little preview of these opening day crowds back in San Francisco and Vegas, and you know, getting these teams in front of their home crowds. And I would be remiss if we didn't have a little bit of nostalgia today for opening day. And my man Paul Janisch, welcome to the show. Are you fired up?
I'm fired up, dude. Hey, man, I know you. Maybe everybody can't tell, but I got my old school Reds jersey on opening day. Fired up about it, man. It was fun while it lasted. I wish we could still be there, but I can still wear the jersey, right?
With the Nuxie patch, that's right, because I think, yeah, mine got to have had to have mine on there as well. And like you said, I'm going to have to go back in and into the stash and, you know, break in the case of emergency. Like you said, I'm going to have to go back and bust some of them out. Because we did have some classic ones, and hopefully I will, just so we can kind of preview some of the jerseys that we got. We were lucky enough to wear, especially our civil rights games for two years. So, opening day, exciting time, and everybody knows Cincinnati. It's a spectacle opening day. You know, with the parade and being the oldest team in all of baseball, it's a great time. And there's no better time. Everybody's 0-0. Everybody's in first place. The stadiums are packed, lots of high hopes. And, you know, on the player side, especially this year, you know, you got a lot of new players coming. So there's going to be a little bit of jitters going into this. And, sure, you know, for the other guys, they're going to be looking for, you know, they're going to be looking to bounce back. They're going to look on to build. And I think they understand, hopefully, going into Cincinnati, is that you guys, if, you know, if they play their ass off, you know, they're going to come out. They've always been a hard nose, blue collar city. They've all respected just battling. And Paul, we had this conversation the other day. You had a tough series. Rice lost 2 of 3 to UTSA this weekend. But the one positive that you brought back from it is that the guys battled. And I think that's a direct correlation to what this club is going to have to experience this year. They're ranked 28th in the MLB power rankings this year. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, through these rebuilding processes, we just want to see guys go out there, fight, play great baseball, and let the cards fall where they may.
Yeah, man, I think one of the things to touch on with regards to the battling, you know, we always say in baseball, the old adage is it's not how you start, it's how you finish. You know, it's a long season, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think in these circumstances, when you've got a lot of uncertainty, you've got a lot of young players, you know, you've got a team that is not maybe quite sure who it is yet with regards to an identity yet. I think the way you start is significant. We've touched on before how last season obviously didn't start well, and I think it kind of prolonged itself, you know, kind of perpetuated throughout the season, unfortunately. So I actually would argue the opposite in this circumstance, man. I think it's huge how this team starts. I think with regards to some of those young players, both on the mound and in the field position player wise, I think them getting off to a good start is going to be maybe more significant than with some teams.
100%. You'd have to be crazy to think that the team's ability to succeed doesn't there isn't a direct correlation with just being at the plate or going into a slump. When you get into that type of losing mentality, and you go 3-14 to start the season or whatever it is, you have to imagine that becomes the psychology behind the team, no different than if you're stepping in the box and you've gone 3-31. It's something, if you can get out, you can get out of the box hot, you put that belief down, and that winning culture starts to circulate early in the season, it's an absolute game changer.
Yeah, you got to believe. See what I did
there? Believe. You know, and that's, you've, I see, well, you've added the jersey today. You got the Reds banner, but I think I'm going to have to bring a little bit of Ted Lasso in here. If you haven't seen the latest episode, and bring that believe right here. And that's what we're going to Reds. Believe in the Reds. Believe in the Reds.
I'm in. But hey, being serious, taking it back to what you said about the fan base too, man, because you know there's some angst there with how things are going to go. And again, going back to it, it can snowball in a good way. The team gets off to a good start, you know, understanding that, you know, you might have Joey on the deal to start, you may have a Senzel on the deal to start, a couple of those maybe key pieces. But if the team starts good, man, you and I both know that city can hop on the train in a hurry, which, again, in this environment, I think it can snowball, man. Those young players start to feel the city, the fan base behind them, you know, get a little good pub, and it's that's a huge piece of that, the psychology of getting things going in the right direction.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what occurs going into the first week or two, because it can go a number of ways. I think it's a really complex dynamic. What's being experienced in Cincinnati, not just from a personnel standpoint, but just from an ownership standpoint, and how the city is receiving, you know, some of the negativity, and that is often felt by the players. And so when you go in, you're having a new club come in, and with the frustration over ownership and last season, there's going to be a big question if that's going to spill out onto the field and affect the young players. And patience is a big thing. And I think we really just have to understand that's the key word this year is patience, and getting off the ground and letting these guys fight it out the first couple weeks. But hopefully we don't get into a position to where we get out, there's a bad start, and that energy is being felt by the new players that are just trying to establish themselves in the league. And that can be a really tough situation to be in. But again, you know, positive vibes going to Cincinnati, you know, not a whole lot of better cities to have opening day. You know, one of my, I think I was so excited, 1 year you were staying at the Millennium was a team hotel, and was headed to the ballpark, and they had the sliding doors, revolving door. And it was kind of like in between, it could have either opened up or it could have closed really quick. And I figured I'd just kind of go for the small crack. And as soon as I made this lunging gesture to get into it, it closed, and this swinging door came in, it squared me up right in the middle of the face. And so it hit me right on the side, like right up under my eye, and it swole up on the way to the field. I got black. And so I remember my second opening day, I was in the clubhouse with what we call the pink magic patch. And you know, the pink, if you don't know about the pink magic patch, it's not available everywhere, and it's super exclusive, kind of a big league only type of deal. But I tell you what, if you've ever fouled a ball off your shin, off your ankle, off your toe, or any type of bruise, even get smoked by a pitch, you put this pink patch on, and the swelling, the discoloration is gone within a matter of hours. This thing is incredible. So if you can imagine that, it's not four faces. I spent most of my time in the locker room prepping for opening day, my first start, and I have this pink patch on my face to try to reduce this swelling after getting smoked in the door. And so that was one of my opening day stories. Cause it actually made the news. Somehow the word got out that I got smoked by a door, and it was I forget what the name of that publication is. Barstool wasn't around, but it popped up in something like Chris Dickerson has fight with revolving door on opening day. But
couldn't happen to a better guy, Dickie. To a better guy.
It happens. It's you know me, you know my career is par for the course. Me running into a door, you know, it's I think borderline klutz. You know, it is what it is. And how about yourself? Favorite memory?
Man, for me, you know, you'll just being in the opening day lineup in Cincy, there's just, to your point, like there's a lot of a lot of buildup there. There's the parade, you know, which our boy Bronson and Danny Graves, I believe, are going to be like the marshals in the parade for opening day this year. But that's all a big deal there. But for me, I only started on that one opening day in Cincinnati while I was there. So it was that for me is my biggest memory. But again, it's just the overall, it's just one of those deals where, and I'm excited for those young players, because it's one of those deals where you just are looking up at the scoreboard, you're looking at the stands, you're looking at all of the stuff that's going on, and you're like, holy crap, man, this is pretty cool. Like it's just one of those things where, you know, we got people all over the country playing college baseball, playing little league baseball, and, you know, being on a big league field on a big league first base or third base line on opening day, getting your name introduced, listening to the anthem is something that is pretty tough to beat for me. But
yeah, the flyover, the pageantry around it, you know, having the red, white, and blue and the ribbons all around the ballpark and having that big opening day, you know, decal on the field, and then just a lot of the teams just digging in their history and having, you know, guys like Danny and Bronson coming out, having some of the all-time greats. I know AJ Burnett's going to be throwing out the first pitch in Pittsburgh with Russell to commemorate their run in 2013. Mm-hmm. So that's a great connection between, you know, the current club and bringing back these old guys, knowing how important opening day is. And of course the flyover, I'm a big flyover guy. You know, I was a fourth grader in library class going through military aircraft books. So that's my favorite part, 100% having Wright Air Force Base, which is a badass Air Force Base, having that flyover. Yeah, it's special, man. It's a good time. And you just want that win, like that just being able to go out there, battle, exhale at the end of it, get that first season dub, get on the board a little bit. And hopefully, I think we have the guys to do it this year. Hunter Green named opening day starter this year. Yep. For me, that's a trip. I wouldn't say
y'all,
I was emotional,
y'all got
y'all
got a relationship, right? Y'all are tight.
Yeah, that's you know, that's my guy. So it's interesting for me. It's gonna be you know, seeing another 21 out there from my high school, you know, remembering Hunter as a young, scrawny 13-year-old phenom at Notre Dame High School, seeing him at shortstop and then just being able to grow with him throughout his career. You know, when he got hurt going through Dayton, it's a special thing to see for me in particular. And I know, you know, just him just living up to the expectations, going on the run that he had last year, but also just understanding what it took for him to get here, the hype, the expectations. But for young pitchers that, you know, in this game, it's a development process coming out of high school, you know, understanding the coaching process, what he's supposed to be doing on a daily basis, where, you know, finding his rhythm, his bad outings, just learning how to pitch. And it's been a journey. And I'm so excited. I know our high school coach is fired up. The only high school coach in the league who's got number 21 Reds jerseys in his office, both from the same high school. So it's special. And I think Hunter is going to have a tremendous year if he can continue that same form that he had last year and really setting the tone for that pitching staff.
Yeah. He just needs to be healthy, right? Like all of those guys at the top, they just need to be healthy. It's part of the development process. What's super exciting from a Red standpoint is Hunter Green's a unique talent, right? We can agree on that. But the fact that you got that kind of guy that's young, that's hungry, that is your opening day guy, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about moving forward. And then Lodolo's right behind him with Ashcraft right behind them. But all those guys are relatively young and in their career as well. So, I mean, it's in terms of a nucleus, a core, we need them to be healthy and you need them to get the, you know, the appropriate seasoning that they're going to get this year. I mean, hopefully they're all lights out the whole year, but in all likelihood, that's not going to be the case, and that's good for him too. But to me, the thing to highlight is the age of that group and the hope and the expectation, not just this year, but in the next 3 to 5 years, you know what I mean?
100%. And, you know, watching Hunter up close and understanding his development, not just trusting the pitches and just learning when to go full bore. Like there's so many idiosyncrasies and so many complexities to being a big league pitcher from a mental and a physical standpoint. Obviously, keeping everybody healthy, but understanding that they don't have to do too much. I think that often falls on a lot of young players that they feel like they have to put the team on their back. And then they have to win the game with every pitch. And that's not the case. I think understanding that you know, from a situational standpoint, getting out there, taking it hitter by hitter, pitch by pitch. That's when I saw Hunter be at his best, is when he was starting to break the game down and not trying to do the most with every at bat, with every outing, and just sure. understanding if we make pitches, you execute, and we trust in our stuff, trust in our ability, trust in our defense, then we're going to be fine. And I think that's one of the things that young players have to understand, especially going with a young team on opening day. It's a lot of pressure, but you got to break it down piece by piece. We go out, we're not worried about the success. We're just trying to get better and yep. get positive results. Just what we were talking about with what you got going on at Rice right now. We want positive results, and we just want to see incremental progress.
The process, man. Like what you're describing, what I'm hearing you say is it's the process. It's about the process. Fall in love with the process. Like if you take care of control what you could control, a guy like Hunter Green's a great example. Like because of the ability, the rest is going to take care of itself. Like, is it going to be good every time? I mean, you're pitching the big leagues. Is somebody going to turn 102 around? Sure they are, right? If you make a good slider, maybe he was looking for it, gets a big hit with two outs. Okay. But the process, like everything that you could control, did you do it appropriately? And if that's the case, over the course of time, you bank on the results being more good than bad, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly the philosophy that I hope that these guys can take going into the season. It's a process. And I feel like Billy being in here in Moneyball, the process. Right. Going to Chavi, what are you swinging at? You couldn't hit that if you fell out with a boat. The process. See more pitches, you know? Than having that great music. And you know, I would love to see that, is putting that Moneyball soundtrack to the Rojos first couple weeks, and just seeing how thing plays out. But you know, there's really no expectations. Also, on the other point, that's another good point that I want to make, is that to see the value in not having expectations. Everybody expects you to finish 29th or the last in the league. Like, you have no choice but to go out and prove everybody wrong. It's not like you guys are you're not championship contenders and you have to come out firing hot. It's like, we're going to do the little things that are going to make us great. And we're going to work on our stuff. And we're just going to go out there and just get better. Progression. And like I said, see where the chips fall, because you know, they have the talent, but the coaching staff, it's just putting the due diligence in you know, we'll see, but it's all so exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, so flipping script, getting on the position player side, right? A couple of interesting things. I think the Barrera kid's going to start at short, which is exciting. He's supposed to be a pretty elite defender that's trying to get his feet on the ground offensively to become an everyday player, so to speak. Reminds me a little bit maybe of a Miguel Rojas back in the day. Who's now turned himself into a very good big league player, right? Been the shortstop in Miami last couple of years, over in L.A. now. But excited to see what Barrera's got. India, obviously, is, you know, just getting his career going. Hopefully, I think it's big for him to become like a piece that is establishing himself a little bit more.
You know, going into junior year, you got to start putting those numbers down. No more sophomore slump. You're dialing it. Recruiting letters are coming in. It's time to start making some decisions. Yep.
That's right. So you got Steer, I think, is going to play third to start. It looks like in the opening day lineup over there at third base. And so the left side of the infield is going to be young, man. Like we talked about earlier, you got Kevin Newman waiting in the wings to kind of solidify the maybe the psychology of those guys early in the season to get them going. Stevenson behind the plate is somebody who everybody thinks is going to be good, but he needs to do it and ultimately stay healthy. You got the two guys behind him that are going to help with Casale and Maley, and then you got Joey, right? He's going to start the season on the injured list, it sounds like, but he made some comments the other day that I'm sure you saw, that something referencing like he's either going to be good or he's going to retire, which I think that maybe that feasibly could be misinterpreted by some fans, but you and I think both understand what he's saying there is, hey, just in case you're wondering, like, I'm going to be ready to go. And I actually love hearing that, because if anybody is going to put accountability on themselves, it's Joey. So I actually think that's a really good sign for Reds fans. What do you got on that?
Yeah, 100%. I'm right there with you. I think it doesn't come across in the paper as we know Joey to be, because I think Joey's saying that with a smirk on his face. Right. So I don't, you know, I take it with a grain of salt, and I think everybody else should too. He's going to come out, he's going to do everything in his power to get ready, because that's just what Joey does. I think him just kind of, you know, saying he's going to throw in the white towel isn't Joey. So again, taking it with a grain of salt, he's doing everything possible to get back to get back and to finish this career, because Joey doesn't know anything else other than to be prepared at all possible. Maybe even potentially he's probably overanalyzing it, like you said, in typical Joey fashion, where, you know, he's, you know, he hasn't played nine innings. I think getting that to getting back to that point to where he feels completely comfortable to compete at all aspects of the game is ultimately where, what Joey's focusing on right now. It's not just about getting the at bats and stepping in. He's got to be functional and feel like he's at an elite level for all nine innings.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And look, here's the thing too, with a guy like that, you need him. It's the sum of the whole is what we're worried about. We're not worried about, not to take anything away from opening day, which obviously we're building up, but like being healthy for opening day versus being ready to go for the entire duration of the 6-month season. We can obviously agree what's more important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of the offseason acquisition of having Will Myers come in. And I think that's, we commented on that in the first second episode. That's a huge thing, is when Joey needs a blow, you have Will Myers there to hold it down at first base. And so having a power right-handed batter, especially at that ballpark, I said that earlier, is that Will's strength is going to play really well in that ballpark. And, yeah, you know, he has power to go to all fields. So I think there's a huge opportunity. You have another former all-star coming in, filling in for Joey until Joey gets ready. But I feel 100% comfortable with what Will brings to the table coming in opening day and be able to fill that role. And then when Joey gets back, then we can show the true nature of this, essentially what I think is going to be the symbiotic relationship, where they're going to be rotating at first and then rotating through at DH to keep each other fresh.
Yeah. And I think, hey, don't sleep on Jason Vossler, who I think is actually probably going to start at first, and Will might play right tomorrow, but we'll see what David Bell has in store. But there's a couple of pieces there, and I'm with you on the Will Myers deal because of the versatility. You get Nick Senzel back later on, and you know, when, I'm not exactly sure what the estimated time on his return is, but he can do some things, right? Play the outfield, play second, play third, spell some guys, and give guys the opportunity to get hot and mix and match in that lineup, which, you know, is kind of the new age deal of creating the versatility and the consistency in the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. Why didn't you ever play outfield? I feel like, dude, back in the day, they were, I think, well, also,
man, I tried to get in the outfield. I tried. I told Dusty, I'm like, I ordered a glove in spring training. I'm like, bro, I got to add it to the resume. He's like, it came down to, and you know me well enough, this isn't really my deal, but like, it was like, if I was going to go on the field, I had to be on the dirt, man. They had to bump somebody else. It was like, if you're going to be on the field, man, we need you to catch it and throw it straight on the dirt. So tried to get in the outfield. It just never worked out.
So you tried to get on the outfield, as opposed to Joey wanted no part of the outfield, and they threw him in the outfield. And those are still to this day some of the most enjoyable experiences that I've ever had in baseball, is being in the outfield with Joey when he was just learning how to play left field. And that it was a spectacular sight every single day. So to that point, is that is now the philosophy that a lot of these players are approaching, is being able to play, to be versatile, to play first, third, right, the corner spots.
Yeah.
And I think even during World Baseball Class, you saw, you know, Mookie, you know, playing a lot more second base. And so that's where we're at. And I think, as you said, you know, Vossler having this rotation of being able to go corner to center and to have this rotation of utility guys, it's going to be something that's going to be seen across the league, but particularly it's going to be vital to the Reds' success this year.
Yep, for sure, man, for sure. And all that to say, like, that was, you know, highlighting the roster, highlighting the pitchers. The one thing that we didn't mention was Alexis Diaz at the end of the bullpen. I personally think I'm going to make a call. I think he's going to become one of the elite guys in the league this year. His unfortunate injury to his brother in New York, but who's already obviously very, very much so established himself. Alexis at the end of the bullpen, I think – you know, you got a couple of other pieces there, Buck Farmer, Fernando Cruz. Not sure how everything shakes out. I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of a opportunity for some of those other guys, but it is a pretty significant deal to have Alexis at the back end that, you know, is in all likelihood going to be the guy.
Indeed. So we will see happening opening day tomorrow. We're going to wrap this up. Reds fans, enjoy the day. The time is now. It is time. It is officially go time. It is press that launch button. We're ready to go. The parade is going to be tomorrow. It's an exciting time. Enjoy it. And I just, like we said, we just want the guys to go out there and battle. But it's a new season. Everybody's in first place. And I hope this is a season we start to see the return of Cincinnati baseball, a good, you know, hard-nosed baseball, get the fans back out there. And, you know, as former Reds, just understanding the city itself, you know, we're excited for tomorrow and to see what this season holds. So for everybody, thank you again for tuning in. Go drop us a like. If you're on YouTube, drop us a comment. Me and Paul, we'll be seeing you next week. Thanks for tuning in. This is Farm to the Show with Paul Janisch and Chris Dickerson.
Believe it.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.